Well, I don't favor talking to vermin, but I'll talk to you just this once.
Exchange-traded funds are the investment world's new frontier.
You better listen.
But with so many choices and styles, the ETF world is a bit like the Wild Wild West, filled with new issues and ideas, but fraught with the same old dangers of investing.
If you're looking for trouble, I'll accommodate you.
Every Thursday, Tom Lydon of ETF Trends comes to Money Life to tell us about one ETF that is wearing the white hat right now.
Take it easy. We are the good guys.
He'll point out the good, the bad, and the ugly as he tells you which investment is worth taking a shot on.
That's good shooting.
And names his ETF of the week.
Now, Wild West.
And we're always joined this week at this time by Tom Lydon, editor of ETF Trends. You know what I say about the site. From soup to nuts, not just the stuff that Tom is recommending or talking about here on the show, but for all things rate related, ETF, for all things ETF related, you should go take a look at ETFtrends.com. They're on Twitter at ETFtrends. Tom is on Twitter personally at Tom Lydon. But right now, Tom is here, and I'm pleased to say, Tom Lydon, welcome back to Money Life.
Thanks, Chuck. Great to be back.
Our ETF of the week is
the Spider S&P Pharmaceuticals ETF, ticker symbol HP.
XPH, I believe, is the ticker symbol. I hope I've got that right.
PH. XPH.
That's it. It's the Spider S&P Pharmaceuticals ETF. Now, Tom, a week ago, you picked the Spider S&P Insurance ETF, KIE. My first reaction was kind of an interesting pick that makes a lot of sense because we're in a rising rate environment, and rising rate environments tend to be good for insurance companies. But if we're in that rising rate environment, the same one you were talking about last week, well, rising rate environments are not typically so good for pharmaceutical companies because they need to borrow more money to do their development. At least that's the theory, I think. So that they typically are not as good in a rising rate environment, which just makes me go, there's got to be something else that you're looking at. What is
it? Well, you're absolutely right, Chuck, but that's if they need the cash. The fact is there are a lot of pharmaceutical companies that are actually sitting on hoards of cash right now, and they have been huge beneficiaries of, as we've all been seeing, the mergers and acquisitions within the U.S. pick up dramatically. And pharmaceutical companies have played a huge role there. So M&A has been very important, but also the fundamentals of demand for pharmaceuticals for drugs has been huge as well. With the improving employment rate, that puts more workers back to work and more participating in healthcare coverage. So that's good. Obamacare also, as we all know, has added millions more into the healthcare system. And then finally, the aging population also means healthcare demand. So demand for chronic conditions, extended care options, ongoing treatments, all more going back to pharmaceutical companies. So kind of like we talked about last week, the fundamentals are right for pharmaceuticals like they are for insurance, although rising rate environment you would feel might work against them. It's just a situation where demand has been so strong for drugs and M&A has been so strong, companies haven't had to borrow as much as they have in the past.
So you're not concerned about the rising rate environment. Now, last week when we were talking insurance, one of the things I pointed out is that insurance makes up a lesser portion. A lot of the insurance companies make up a lesser portion of some of the indexes. And although there would be some overlap, it would be a little bit less. Pharma is a big focus for a lot of funds and ETFs. So how do you decide what you're going to do with this and how much of it are you willing to let it be? And how much, by the way, are you saying I want pharma and differentiating that from, say, healthcare, which is an area that we've discussed in the past and where investors frequently want to be focused?
Absolutely right. So again, for the average investor, you've already got, as you point out, Chuck, good representation as far as pharmaceutical stocks in your portfolio. If you're in mutual funds, if you're index funds or actively managed funds, if you're not paying regular attention to your portfolio, then you don't need to do anything here. On the other hand, like we talked about last week, we continue to bring up opportunities that based on demand in the marketplace, changing trends in the marketplace, and also headwinds that might be coming, let's pick out some sectors that might be doing better than others 6 months from now. And I think pharmaceutical would fall into that camp. So with that in mind, if you have some cash that you're looking to put to work on top of what you've already got invested, maybe you've sold some areas of the market that you haven't felt good about or research tells you to do so, I would be comfortable saying 2.5 to 5% of your portfolio on the equity side in this ETF would work well. And it's above its 200-day average right now, as long as you keep an eye on it, make sure you continue to own it, as long as it's above its 200-day average. This, I believe, like insurance, like we talked about last week, will continue to do well versus the rest of the market in the next 12 to 18 months.
You know, here's a question I don't ask you often, but I'm going to ask, and maybe I should ask it more often. Here's a sector, here's a fund that should do well. Help us frame an expectation. Define well, like over the next 12 months, what is a reasonable expectation here?
Well, a lot of it depends on, you know, it's almost like guessing what the market's going to do. We really don't know fundamentally, and then the other peripheral headwinds that happen to come into the marketplace as well. I mean, I would say if we see in the next 12 months that the S&P moves up by 8 to 10%, we might see a 12 to 14% move here. But as you and I know, Chuck, that's the one thing going for us as far as our age. A lot of things can surprise you. So that's why you have to keep an eye on that 200-day average, because sometimes, you know, you get one of those big headwinds and all bets are off and the trends change. And that's where having that ability to go to cash really pays off in many instances.
Well, and that's exactly what I was going to come back to, is that would be the upside if things work well. And the downside is, hey, we mitigate it by using the 200-day moving average. So again, it is the Spider S&P Pharmaceuticals ETF, the ticker symbol XPH, the ETF of the week above its 200-day moving average. Now, Tom says it's worth 2.5 to 5% of the equity side of your portfolio, so long as it stays above that 200-day moving average. If you want to find out more about what Tom is saying, well, then you're going to follow him on Twitter, at Tom Lydon. You want to find out more about what's happening in the ETF world and Tom's take on the ETF world, you'll follow ETF Trends at ETF Trends, and you'll go to ETFTrends.com. Tom, great chatting with you. We'll look forward to doing it again next week.
Thanks, Chuck.
Well, we have just gotten Thursday rolling with the bang, but there's a lot more to come, so stick around. The big interview is next as Money Life rolls on right after these messages.